Well, I gave you a scripture sheet tonight, and as you can see what the title is, it's Don't Quit. And I just wanted to share from my heart some things that God has been just putting in my heart. You know, I know Jim has mentioned this because I've heard him on the tapes when I'm listening to one his sermons, but one of the things that he mentions is John Hagee, who has a really large ministry now. He's in Texas, has a large church, has a TV ministry. But he said if he wanted to ruin someone, he would give the ministry just over to a young minister right now and just say, hey, have at it, and just go with it. And he said that would have the potential to completely ruin someone. He said the thing that has caused him to be where he is today is nothing more than, of course, God, but him not quitting. He just did not quit. And God is using him mightily now. Lots of things that he's doing in for the Lord right now. But just that idea of don't quit. How many times in our faith walk is it easy to just let up and just get discouraged and just say, well, I don't know why it's not working, but it isn't working. And just to feel discouraged and say, why is it? And all you know, we can do a couple things. We can blame ourselves, get all frustrated with ourselves, get mad. We can blame God. A lot of times that is done. I mean, it's very much it's done all over the place. We blame God for hurricanes. We blame God for deaths, unnecessary deaths. And God gets the blame for everything. But it is not his fault. And we know that because his word tells us that he came to give us life and to give us that more abundantly. He didn't come to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I wanted us to open up to 1 Peter 2:24. Now, I know that these scriptures you know, but it shows the simplicity of walking in faith. So 1 Peter 2:24. says, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Is this in the Bible?
Yes.
Is this for us?
Yes.
Is this supposed to be working in our lives?
Yes,
it is. Galatians 3, 13 and 14. Just a couple books past Acts, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, and then it's Galatians. Galatians 3, 13 and 14. It says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Again, this is in the Bible. This is for us. We've been redeemed from everything that has been a curse in the past because they didn't have a Savior. Now, Jesus became that Savior for us. He redeemed us from everything. And so we are no longer supposed to be under sickness. We are no longer supposed to be even in poverty. We're not supposed to have lack of anything. We are never supposed to be fretful, fearful. We don't have to be any of those things any longer. There is nothing that is supposed to have dominion over us. We are supposed to have dominion over everything now, because that is the authority that Jesus gave to us. That's why he died. And that is for us. And so, if it's in the Bible, and it is a promise that has been given to us, then either God is not truthful, or it should be working in our lives. And I wanted to go a step further and just say that God is not a liar. He has said in Isaiah 55:11, "So shall my word be." It's on your scripture sheet if you need to, or you can look it up. "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." And so, everything that is in this word that is for us is supposed to prosper in the thing in which God sent it to. So if God is not a liar and he has promised us these things, then we can stand just knowing that this is ours. This is our right. It is Jesus told the disciples, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you don't need a lot of faith. Sometimes there's people out there that are just saying you got to build and build and build and build and build and build and build your faith. But you need the faith of a mustard seed to say to a mountain to be removed and be cast into the sea, and it's going to be removed. That's how much faith is so powerful. It has the power of God and all the spiritual authority that God has behind it to cause whatever it is that he has promised to come to pass in our life. So if God has promised it to us, he's not a liar, he's got all of heaven backing his word, then the thing that comes with us is that no matter what tries to get us off of believing that, we have got to push back and not quit. We cannot give up. We cannot allow ourselves to start throwing a pity party because it's hard, because things are just not going the way, because it's not coming as fast as we want it to come, because it's not looking the way that we thought it was going to be. Christina is in a little singing program, and there's this song, and it says, one of the phrases, and it says, "Nobody said it would be easy, but nobody said it would be so hard." And, you know, I was thinking about that. You know, she's singing it all the time right now because she's got a little concert coming up, but the thing about it is I started realizing a lot of times in our circles we expect things because of what Jesus has done. We believe that that's true, that he's done these different things for us. But then if it doesn't happen like that, we start to get frustrated and we can get mad and we're like, this is so much harder than what I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to look like A, B, and C, and why isn't it working like this? And God is up there just saying, you know, just keep holding on. Don't quit. It's on the way. Watch your mouth. You know, hold on. Hold on. You know, we talked about words one time when I was talking. We talked about the power of your words, you know, because you can let go of faith and not even realize that you are letting go of it. And another thing I just want to throw out there kind of quick is that faith is not works. Sometimes you kind of get the impression that people don't want to know about faith because they just want to hear what grace has done for them. And it is true what grace has done. And we focus on that big time because grace is why we're even meeting today. If it wasn't for what Jesus has done, we might as well just go do something else. I mean, we don't need to be here tonight. So grace is important. But just because Jesus died for everyone doesn't mean that everyone believes it. And just because Jesus wants everyone saved doesn't mean that everyone's going to be saved. Just because Jesus wants everyone healed doesn't mean that everyone's going to be healed. What is it that helps us to be able to tap into that grace and produce something in our lives? And that is faith. And so I'm putting that out there because I think sometimes faith gets a bad rap in certain things. Nowadays it's like, well, anything that requires something of me, it's works. And we kind of want to throw that out. But that is not the law. That we have been redeemed from the law, but the law is not mean that faith. That we just do away with faith. We still have faith that we are operating in when we are believing certain things. And so the devil is doing his best to get us in his realm of fear. And the realm of God is faith. And so what we have to do is make sure, okay, I feel like I'm starting to teeter. I'm feeling this pressure. I'm starting to feel like, you know, tension, anxiousness, all of those kind of things. We have to realize we need to stop at that point because that's not God. That's not how he operates in us. That's not him motivating us at that point. And we have to stop and say, no, I'm not going to be tense. I'm not going to give in to fear at this point. I'm going to keep believing that by whose stripes I was healed. It's already a done deal. And you go back to the word. Instead of the feelings, the anxiety, all the different things, you go back. You center back. No, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Okay, so I'm going to go back to that. And I keep bringing myself back to the word instead of letting myself be knocked around by the devil. And 1 Peter 5, 8, and 9. 1 Peter is just right in front of Revelation. 1 Peter 5, 8, and 9. So we are believing God for healing, but we are going to encounter resistance. And that is what makes that feeling of, oh, it seems so hard. If we think that we're just going to stand in faith and it's going to be a piece of cake and everything's just going to happen, we're going to be really disappointed. We are going to be frustrated when we don't see things happening in our lives because that's not how it works. The devil is going to do. We can look in 1 Peter 5, 8. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Verse 9 says to resist him. Steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. So he is not just coming after your faith. He's not just coming after my faith. He's coming after the faith of any believer that is trying to stand for anything that God has promised in his word. That's why there are denominations out there that have completely discounted that it's God's will to heal everyone. Because they have looked at circumstances, they have seen different things happen, and they said, well, if it's didn't work for so-and-so, who is a good, godly person, well, who's to say it's going to work for me, little old me, who, you know, I'm at the bottom level of the totem pole here, you know? If so-and-so, who's this pillar, can't do it, can't get it, then what makes it seem like I can? Well, who am I to think that I can do it? That is a philosophy that is out there, that is all over the place. It would really be so much easier to receive healing if everyone believed in it.
Yes.
If everyone around us believed in healing,
yes.
It'd be easier. Now, why is it so easy for us to believe in salvation? Because, well, Everyone around us, there's many denominations that believe in salvation. But if you start looking in, that's even starting to shake a little bit. You know, because there's a worldview that is starting to happen that it doesn't matter what God you believe in. It doesn't have to be Jesus. It can be whatever. It's still taking you to God. That philosophy is infiltrating into the church now. There are some churches that have started believing that as well. Well, it doesn't really matter what you believe, just as long as you believe. And it's getting harder for people to say, okay, well, I need to be a Christian. It's becoming much, much harder. People are like, well, why do I need to be a Christian? Why can't I be? Who says you're right? Why can't it be this way? Well, I kind of like this way better. Yeah, but who says the Bible's right? And that's what's out there. They're questioning everything. They're questioning God. But the thing is that we have to be aware that this is out there and realize that the same tactics that have been used out there to go and destroy people's confidence that you have only one way to get to God, which is through Jesus, is also been at work for healing. And we've been surrounded by that. We have been surrounded by that, whether or not we're going to a faith church. You know, whether we're going to a Pentecostal church, a charismatic church, we're surrounded by people who don't believe these things. And so because of that, the devil is always needling, looking for something. Are you sure? How do you know? Or, well, I would think that if it was going to be God, it would have happened by now. He must not really want this for you. Or, you know, you've had symptoms longer than you think you should have had them. Even like for colds or just different things, you know, you can start thinking, well, I stood. I believed. So why isn't it happening for me? And many times I would have to say that just that thought right there is what's happening to you. You know, without even knowing it, you are doubting, is it going to really happen for you? Is this really going to take place in my life? And the more we become aware that those thoughts are being brought to us, not by God, but by the devil to try to steal from us, the more we resist those kind of thoughts and say, I don't care. The Bible says that by Jesus' stripes I'm healed, and so it's mine. Do you know that you can get healed and know one scripture? Mm-hmm. By Jesus' stripes I am healed. Mm-hmm. That's all you have to know, and you can get healed. Yep. Now, the thing is, the reason why people delve into the scriptures and listen to the teachings and find more scriptures that are giving credibility to what they believe is because the devil is looking for any way to discount that in your life. And if he can, he is going to steal that faith that you have and replace it with fear. And so that's why we still listen to our tapes on healing and our sermons on healings. And that's why we keep looking to the Word. And just the Word is powerful. It produces a faith in us. So when we see that, it produces inside of us something that says, whoa, I'm not going there, devil. This is what it says. I'm going to stand on that. I don't care what you have to say. I'm going to believe it. I'm not going to give up. Ephesians 6:10. Ephesians, just right after Galatians. Ephesians 6:10. It really puts a light on what we are doing. So many times we can get wrapped up in the natural, and what we're wearing, what we're eating, what kind of car we're driving, what kind of house we're living in, relationships with people. We can get so caught up in all those things, but the Bible tells us in verse 10, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord." Not in the natural stuff, but be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So there is a resistance. There is a fight that we are in. It is real. Even though Jesus has already done everything for us to walk in victory, there is this pressure that is doing its best. We've heard Jim talk about the seed, how it goes in the ground, and there's all sorts of different grounds. And when it is placed in the good ground, it produces a harvest. But there's so many things, the cares of life that try to choke it out, the rocky soil, all these different things that try to choke out that faith that is being put in us. So many times people are hearing the word, and it produces this faith, and then they're walking out into the rest of the world, and spiritual forces are doing their best to discount everything that is going on, that every ounce of faith that they had is trying to be stolen from them. And we have to realize that that is why we keep looking, even if it's just the one scripture, we keep reminding ourselves of it and keep resisting and saying, yeah, but. And then when the circumstances aren't changing maybe as quickly as we would like for them to quickly, or we would like for them to change, we do what? Sit down or stand. We stand, and we keep standing, and we keep standing, and we stay on God's side, and we don't doubt, and we don't waver, and we don't start going like this because it's not happening the way that we thought it should. It's so important not to throw a pity party. And yet, oh, we really want to. Our flesh really wants to, especially when you're not feeling well. The last thing you want to do is resist. You just want, you know, someone to coddle you and tell you it's going to be okay. And, you know, being a mom, there is that in me that just wants to do that, you know, to the kids when you see them like that. And we do. But we also are putting into them, but resist it. And I'm telling you, when Andrew has something that he wants to do and some symptoms try to come on him, I'm telling you, he can resist. And he stands, and he ends up doing just great. And there have even been times where after that event is over, then all of a sudden he's like, oh, okay. But, I mean, I've seen it in several situations with him, even Brianna on certain things, that they will, Christina and Julie are still young to understand any of that kind of stuff, but they've been able to start seeing, okay, there's something I really, really want, and it helps them to stand against it. So even though they're feeling bad, but their desire for something else is making them stand and resist it. And I am learning and seeing in this whole process that our desire has to outweigh what our feelings are. Our desire for having it the way that God has already ordained it has to outweigh the desire to have the pity party or to just feel discouraged or to give in. And we have to keep taking ourselves back to point one and point two, which is, this is the Bible. It's God speaking to me. It's a promise that is for me. And God is not a liar. So, it's in the Word, therefore it's mine. He's not a liar. So, I just keep reminding myself that over and over and over. Just keep going back. No, the Bible says flat out, by Jesus' stripes I'm healed. So, sorry sickness, you don't have any right in my body. You've got to go. You cannot stay. Romans 8:25. I'm just going to go through. There's a couple scriptures that are pretty pretty short, and I'm just going to go through those. But Romans 8:25 says, "But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance." We will push through. We believe, we have this hope of what Jesus has promised us, and so we persevere until we see it come to pass. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." I know Jim has talked about this. If we keep looking to the natural, if we keep our visions on earthly things of what's happening, how our body feels, or what relationships look like, or what our finances look like, if we keep our mind on those natural things, it allows the devil an inroad to bring anxiety, to bring fear, to bring hopelessness, like, and despair, discouragement, all of those things, depression, all of that kind of stuff, when we're looking at what it looks like with our sight. Right. However, when we look at things through faith, through what God has promised us, we are looking at things supernaturally. And that is powerful. When we are looking at things supernaturally, that's when we are unleashing all of the power of God, and it's coming behind us and fighting for us and shielding us from things, and we are allowing God to work on our behalf. Now, as we grow in this, there it's going to be easier and easier for us to have faith victories, because we have seen it work over here, and then we see it work here, and then we see it work here, and then we see it work here. And so the next time the devil tries to come at us with something, we can point to their past victories as well as the Word. And say, you know what? It's too late. I've had too much experience with God. I know who you are. I know what you're trying to do, and I'm not going to give in to you, okay? So you might as well pedal somewhere else, because I'm not buying it. I'm going to stay strong and stick with God, because every time that I do, I win. And it becomes where we will see things start happening faster in our lives on certain things, because we're aware that what is trying to steal from us is the devil. And we keep pushing back at him, and we keep resisting him, and we are not allowing him that inroad. And so even though the Bible says, even though we can walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we don't have to fear it. The doctors can be telling you all sorts of things. Mm-hmm. Your head can be telling you all sorts of things, but you don't have to be afraid. Why? Because the Bible says it, and God's not a liar. So if the Bible says it, and God's not a liar, then it has to come to pass in my life. And we just keep standing and just getting firm, firm, firm. 1 Timothy 6:12 says that we are to fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called, and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. It's not one of these things that we just sit down and the blessings just come and fall down on us. I would love to tell you that. We could probably fill up our church if we told everyone that, and it worked. You don't have to do anything. Just sit down and all you have to do is come to church. I don't think we would have room enough if we had that kind of a religion. And it would be wonderful if it were that way, but God has purposefully set things in place to where we have to have faith. That's how he created everything, was he spoke the word and it wasn't there, and then all of a sudden it was there. And so the same thing happens with us. We speak the word. Our bodies may not be showing the evidence of it at the time, but we just keep standing on it, and it reveals itself. It manifests itself. And so we are fighting. It is a battle. I'd like to tell you it isn't, but it is. It is a battle. It is something where the devil is doing his best to keep us from winning. Galatians 6:9. You can turn there if you want. Galatians 6:9. It's right before Ephesians. Galatians 6:9. The context of this is talking about giving to the preacher, giving things to somebody who is called of God to share the word. But it is still something that can be taken into any area of faith. And it says, and let us not, Galatians 6:9, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. If you quit, you lose. Yep. No matter what area it is. If you quit, you lose. If you give up, you lose. If you start to say, well, I don't know. Well, I'm not sure. You are starting to teeter over into the other area of, you're starting to walk on the devil's domain and in his domain when you start doing that. But if you stay saying, no, I don't care what it looks like. I don't care if it is a 24-hour flu bug and I have it for 64 hours. It still works. It's still the truth. No matter what it looks like, it's still the word of God and it works. And you side in with God, not what your body is telling you, not what your symptoms are, because the next time that you have the 24-hour flu, it may be 48 hours, and the next time it's actually the 24, and then the time after that, you don't even get it. Because we're growing. We are developing. And to say that, oh, I don't know, I did everything. You know, I'm first learning how to drive a car, and I run into a tree because I don't know how to turn the wheel. To say that that's the car's fault, and I don't understand why I ran into the tree. Didn't it know to turn? That's what I meant to do. I meant to turn, but I didn't turn, so I hit the tree. And so when we're walking in our faith, there are things that we may not see right away. We don't realize, oh, this is a tactic of the devil. He found a little place, and he's pushing me right now. But that's why the word begins to enlighten you. You start getting a revelation. Oh, okay, I'm seeing where the inroad is. Okay, that's not going to happen next time. I'm going to stand. I'm going to be strong, and I'm going to push back. And we just keep pushing back. Over and over and over, we just keep pushing back. We just keep resisting. We just keep saying, no, the Bible has promised it, and so I'm going to see it come to pass. One thing that I just wanted to encourage us, because the point is we don't want to quit. But what's a good way to help us not to quit? And, of course, it's looking at the Word. But spending time just reminding yourself who God is, what he's done. When you are doing that, you are fighting the good fight of faith because you are keeping your mind in the supernatural, in what God has done in the spiritual realm rather than giving into your natural senses. And so you just keep reminding yourself, God is big, the devil is little. God is big, the devil is little. You keep your symptoms are just feeling enormous. It's little. It's little compared to the power of God. It's little. And you don't like I said, circumstances, your flesh, everything will be railing itself trying to tell you this is real. But you have to keep saying, no, this isn't real. This is real. And I'm standing on the word because that's what's real. My symptoms aren't real. We get ourselves in our walk with God to where the supernatural realm becomes more real to us than our natural realm. When we have that frame of reference to where we see it's not the person that, we could say even the bombings, it's not the person that has done the bombings. Now, they should be brought to justice, but there was a spiritual force behind those people that is really what's attacking this area and trying to destroy. That's what's behind it. And when we start to realize that makes us, that makes the Christian nurse still be able to give care to the person who has done something like that. Mm-hmm. When you realize it's not, it goes beyond what he has done. And like I said, the Bible still says, you know, you do something, there's a consequence. So I'm not saying that we look to people without what they've done, but what we do say is that we can still love the person even if they've done something. And we realize that more importantly is, okay, there is something that is not, that is at war with us. And we, again, are just taking our stand and saying, no, this is what God says. God says for us to shine our light. We're not going to be intimidated if there were tons of people trying to get us to stop shining our light. We're still going to shine our light because that's what the word says. And the devil's doing his best to get people in fear, like, oh, we can't do this. You know, no, we can. And we can share the gospel even with people that are against the gospel. We can still share it with them because of what the Bible has told us and what we're doing there. So how do we do that? I said that we spend our time reminding ourselves of who he is. Isaiah 40:31 says, those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. If you're ever feeling weak, if you're ever feeling tempted to give in to despair, to get discouraged, you stop and you wait on the Lord, and you remind yourself of who he is. It says that when we do that, we will mount up with wings like eagles. We will run and not be weary. We shall walk and not faint. We, as Christians, never need to be weary. We never need to be faint. We can do what God has called us to do and be effective. We can have what he has told us we can have. We can walk in that. We can be victorious in every area. There's coming a day when people are going to look at you and not understand why you are so joyful. No matter what is going on around you, you are happy. You don't complain. Why is that? Why are you like that? It's baffling to them. They can't figure it out. And the reason is because our source of strength, our source of hope, our source of joy and peace comes from God. And when we take time having that recounting, God is big. He's mighty. And we just keep reminding ourselves of that. It produces a strength on the inside of us, and we will win every single time. There's nothing that can defeat us if we stay on that.